And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I've always thought the gospel lesson for Ash Wednesday is almost the oddest matching of a reading and a liturgical day ever, isn't it? On Ash Wednesday, we come into church, we begin a season of penitence, and one of the things that we do, if you're so inclined, is to receive the ashes of us as a sign of our repentance. And then the gospel lesson picks a reading where Jesus says, "Don't disfigure your face, but wash it." Isn't that funny? I always think that's the weirdest pairing of a day. And so I just wanted to point that out, that if you thought the reading was weird, yeah, I noticed with you, okay? I want you to know that. I want to talk about what is going on with some of the scripture lessons, and I think it makes sense. Like many things in scripture, it makes sense once you think it out. And here's what is going on. Did you know that the Lord hates hypocrisy? He does. We know this from taking opinion polls of people. People hate hypocrisy too. Isn't that funny? Hypocrisy is when you pretend to be something you're not. And I want to say that that's a difficult concept because all of us do that some of the time, right? But you take polls of people who are not believers, and one of the things they say is, "I don't go to church, it's filled with hypocrites." And the snarky answer, please don't use this answer, but it always is in the back of my head, "You shouldn't go to the grocery store either. There's hypocrites in there too, right?" Where do you plan to go where you're going to be free of these people known as the hypocrites? But we want to know, so people say they don't like hypocrisy. God doesn't like hypocrisy, but here's the hard thing. Who of us is not a hypocrite? Right? The unfortunate truth of this is that the minute you erect a moral standard, you say, "Here's my moral code," what happens after that? I don't keep it. Isn't that true? And we might even say, "Well, my moral code is not going to be a moral code of my own choosing. I'm going to go to God's word, and I'm going to ask God, what's his moral code?" And if we're going to be serious about him and us, you know what we have to say about that moral code? We don't keep it. Guess what? The church is full of hypocrites. So is the pulpit. The pulpit every week is full of a hypocrite. We need to bear that in mind. We are not saying to the world in any way that we're in the church because we're better than you. Please, never ever say it or even imply it. We are not in the church of God because we're better than other people. We're a bunch of sinners in this place. We're a bunch of hypocrites. But with this difference, we have said, "Oh, Lord God." Right? "Lord God, forgive me." That's what's going on. Did you notice that in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says 3 times he doesn't like hypocrisy? He says, "Don't be like the hypocrites. Every time they give something to the poor, they form a parade to say, 'Hey, look what I'm doing.' Don't do that. Give, please." That's what he's saying. "Give to the poor, but don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing." He says, when you pray, he says the word 3 times. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray and make a big display of it. Right? Pray privately. Have a private devotional time. And God, who is unseen, he sees what you do. And when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to say to everybody, "I'm fasting, I'm holy." Don't do that. In no way did he say, "Don't give to the needy, don't pray, or don't fast." He's saying, "Give to the needy, please, pray, fast. But don't be a hypocrite about it. Don't be external about it." It's difficult, isn't it? Our Old Testament lesson, Joel 2:13, said this, "Rend your hearts, not your garments." I want us to know this. That's a rhetorical device. He's not saying don't rend your garments. The Old Testament is full of people. When they repent, what do? They tear their robe. They grab it by the collar and they tear it. That would get expensive after a while, wouldn't it? I hope they didn't buy that thing at Macy's or something like that. But there's a tearing of the robe. The Bible does not say, don't tear your robe. He's using a rhetorical device saying, rend your hearts, but not your garments. What he really means is, rend them both, right? But if one is more important, what's going on in your heart is the most important. This is what he's saying. If hypocrisy means that that what we seem to be is not what we really are, then God doesn't like it. This is what the Bible's constantly saying. Let your outer action and your inward reality be the same. Right? Is it okay to rend your garments? Sure, as long as you're rending your heart, right? You know, the problem with external activities is you can always mimic it. Somebody might be truly repentant and tear their robe, but somebody else might have no repentance in their heart at all and tear their robe and say, hey, look at me, I'm repentant. Right? God knows the heart. Rend your heart and your garments, I think he would say. Jeremiah 6:26, oh my people, put on sackcloth and roll in ashes. Mourn with bitter wailing as for an only son. That's God saying, yeah, be repentant, be sorrowful in your heart. But then he's saying, do the outward expression, right? Put on sackcloth, rough, rugged looking stuff. Put on sackcloth, roll in ashes. He's not saying don't do those things. But the Lord is saying, Israel, I need you to repent sincerely, truly. And then you can express it that way, right? By the way, I love the verse. Put on sackcloth and roll in ashes, mourn with a bitter wailing as for an only son. He's using the image. He says, I want your weeping over your sins to be that deep, as if you only had one son and then he died. He's telling us how deep he wants it to be. Of course, it's a prediction of the Christ too, right? Mourn like you would for an only son. God knows that mourning, right? The one who sends the only son. One of those little Old Testament windows into that. Job chapter 2, verse 8 says this. By the way, if you're doing that read through the Bible plan that we put in the Bible, you're in Job now, right? And very often you're reading Job thinking, this is hard to read through. Job 2, verse 8. Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. A broken piece of pottery and scrapes his skin. He's externally showing what the internal reality is. Remember, all of his sons and his daughters perish. His flocks and herds are destroyed and stolen. His property is burned to the ground. And in his heart, he feels terribly contrite. And he doesn't want it to be just in here. He needs to show people, this is what I feel. That's okay, right? That's okay. It's not hypocrisy to be repentant and to show it externally as long as those two realities match up, right? Job chapter 42, it's the last chapter of the book, and the whole book has gone on with Job wrestling with God, with despising his sins, but also knowing that before God he stands in righteousness, but then his so-called friends constantly tearing into him, criticizing, undermining. At the very end of the book, Job 42, Job replies to the Lord, I know, God, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me. God, you said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. And Job replies, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. There it is again, dust and ashes. By the way, the modern day translation of that is Job is saying, Lord, I have spoken about things that I don't know anything about. Please forgive me. And I'll show it in dust and ashes. Is it okay to wear ashes on Ash Wednesday? Yeah. Sometimes the Bible says, don't do A, do B. What he means is let A and B speak together. Ash Wednesday is a day for Christian people to say, Lord God, I am a sinner. And standing before him, then to hear from him, yes, and in Christ, sinners are forgiven. Right? Don't ever do one half without the other. God just wants us to not be self-righteous, right? Job's friends are always saying, Job, you're suffering because you sinned. Just admit it. That's all. That's essentially what they're saying. And a lot of times when people say, you're suffering because of your sins, what they're sort of implying is, because I'm not really a sinner. Oof. God hates that stuff, right? Luke chapter 18, Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, and one of them said, Lord God, I thank you I'm not like other people, like that sinner over there. I thank you I'm not like those guys. And the other man won't even look to heaven and says, God, I am so sorry about the sins I've committed. And Jesus said, the second one is justified. The second one is justified. Ash Wednesday is good and right. The ashes are good and right. This is the thing. It's good and right as long as it's not just rote. If we're just going through the motions, right? If we really get, Lord God, I'm a sinful man and I stand in need of your mercy. Martin Luther in the 95 Theses. Did you know that the very first one, there's 95 Theses, the very first one says, the whole life of a Christian is to be one of repentance. The whole life of a Christian is to be one of repentance. And his point is not buying an indulgence, not going through the motions, not just doing it because we're supposed to, but one of repentance, because this is his point. Confession before God is reconciliation and renewal, right? That's what Joel said. Turn to the Lord. Maybe he'll hear. Maybe he'll forgive. What does God say? I do hear. I do forgive. It's okay to wear ashes. It's okay to do whatever your devotional life suggests to you that says, Lord, in repentance I come before you. In humility I come before you. The Bible says the humble are exalted, the proud are opposed. Just let the internal and the external be the same thing. And God forgives and renews in Christ. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.